You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful and well-funded homosexual activist movement. That movement is progressing rapidly in our culture, and we're at the point now where we're actually feeling that the freedom to disagree with homosexuality is now in jeopardy. Even though the homosexual activists generally poo-poo that idea, the evidence is all around us, including cases where the assertion is made that gay rights, so-called, supersede people's religious or moral right to or their right to disagree on religious, moral, or other grounds. And you should remember, too, that we don't only defend Christians' rights. Everybody in America, even if they're an atheist, has a right. And we do have support from atheists at Americans for Truth, moral atheists, I guess you could say. Everybody has a right to their beliefs about homosexual behavior. And there is it's ridiculous, preposterous to think that there should be one view and one view only promoted by the state. But we're in danger of that because of the rapid progression of so-called gay power in our culture. We're talking to Barb Anderson and Lori Higgins, who are two of the most stellar activists in the entire pro-family movement. And I'm proud to call them friends and colleagues. Lori, are you there?
I am.
And Barb?
Hello, Peter.
Okay, guys. Now, your hate mail will increase because of your very appearance on this show, so just be ready. Because, you know, the homosexual lobby is so tolerant, as we'll be talking about today. Barb, you represent the Parents Action League, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
In Minnesota. And also, you are a volunteer researcher and speaker analyst for the Minnesota Family Council, which is a wonderful group affiliated with Focus on the Family there in Minneapolis, right?
That's right.
Okay, and the website is parentsactionleague.org, and the other one is mfc.org for Minnesota Family Council. Lori, you are the you're the cultural analyst for the Illinois Family Institute, which is the leading pro-family organization in Illinois in terms of covering Illinois. Say a little bit about what IFI does.
Well, we work on any conservative pro-family issues, including in Springfield. We have lobbyists down there who are working to, you know, keep out bad laws and institute good laws and all family issues. And I write a lot about school issues. I came out of a public school working there for 10 years and saw what was going on in terms of the homosexual issue.
Well, you were drummed out, to be accurate, isn't that fair to say?
It wasn't just on the homosexual issue. It was on their advocacy for critical race theory, which just recently emerged in the public eye, and on homosexuality.
Right.
And yes, I was.
So you're an equal opportunity bigot, is what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm just kidding.
These are the names that are thrown around. And it occurred to me that the word bigot is now surpassing even the word hater in the opposition lexicon, because it just so, you know, it just sounds so bad. And they wield it like the old religionists used to wield heretic. Right.
Well,
everybody's a bigot now.
Well, and they wield it because it works with their false analogy, their comparison of homosexuality to race.
Right.
And which is the analogy that conservatives never demand that they defend with evidence. How is race like homosexuality? It's an indefensible, silly analogy, and we need to work on challenging them on that.
Right. And now we're going to be talking about that that whole analogy in the Southern Poverty Law Center, which joined in the pressure campaign against the Anoka, how do you pronounce it, Barb? Anoka Hennepin?
Anoka Hennepin, that's correct.
That's
District
a school?
11.
And that is what, right outside Minneapolis?
It's north of the Twin Cities area, and it's the largest school district in the state.
Okay, now set up what happened. You were probably part of the effort. There was an effort to tell us how it came to be first that that school district was targeted because it enacted a code which said that there would be neutrality on the controversial issue of homosexuality. How did that come to pass in the first place?
Well, this policy on neutrality was passed in 2009, and it was a policy that referred only to the curriculum, saying that teachers were not to talk about sexual orientation, and if the topic came up in class, that the students could bring it up, but the teachers were to remain neutral. And this topic was one better addressed in the home, the churches, and the communities. And even out front, the organization knew when this policy was passed and was happy with it. They were fine with it. But then suddenly there was a group called the Gay Equity Team, the gay activists in our district, that decided, let's overturn that. And they joined up with the Southern Poverty Law Center. And really, the Southern Poverty Law Center found this to be an ideal case to fit their narrative to overturn this policy and use the suicides in our district. We had 7 tragic suicides and used this as an...
When did those occur, Barb?
They occurred between 2009 and 2011, and there was only one that was a confirmed gay student, yet this became an issue that these were gay suicides, and this policy in the district was creating a hostile environment, and the hateful evangelicals were promoting violence against gay kids who then were killing themselves.
Okay, now I'll take a break there, and I want both of you to address this. Okay, one was a confirmed homosexual kid, and of course, this is a terrible tragedy when anybody ends their life, much less a young person. It's the greatest tragedy ever. One was homosexual, and was that ever shown to be related to anything about conservative politics or so-called anti-gay speech or anything?
No, in fact, the district did an investigation because they said these kids were bullied and killing themselves, and the investigation showed that not a single one of the suicides was reported. And in fact, there were other school districts that had higher rates of suicides, but they kept that quiet and ignored that. They were targeting our school district also because it was the hometown of Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Yes.
And so they were going after it for that reason as well.
Yeah, but I mean, before we get into the whole Bachmann thing and the politics, this clamoring about gay youth suicides, even when there's not a connection to homosexuality, it's almost becoming as if really the suicides that matter more than any other, Lori, are the the kids that matter the most are the homosexual kids.
Well, of course, that's what they want them to believe. It's way overrepresented. And what's interesting about that, one was confirmed self-identified as homosexual. 3 were called anti-gay epithets, and which they will say means that they were perceived as gay. Of course, kids are called names that are irrelevant to any perception. If kids perceive an epithet as negative, they will hurl it at anyone indiscriminately. So that means of the 9 suicides that were talked about in this, Rolling Stone magazine wrote about 9 suicides in the district, and they called it, this was an evangelical war on gay teens. Of the 9, 1 was identified as homosexual, 3 were called anti-gay epithets. Of the other 5, they had nothing to do with even being called anti-gay epithets. And in fact, 2 of them, one of them was in college, and his suicide was from depression that resulted from something that happened in his freshman year. And the other one was at a progressive charter school in Minneapolis, or in the school district, that their sexual orientation curriculum policy, the neutrality policy, had nothing to do with.
Okay, but let's take a step back. Facts really don't matter to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They've labeled both your group, Lori, Illinois Family Institute, and my group, Americans for Truth, they've labeled us hate groups on a moral par with the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
Which is preposterous on its face, and yet they keep doing it, and they know exactly why they're doing it. They're doing it with this express purpose, which they've stated, of lowering our profile in the public. They don't want our words to get out into the public. So this is a leftist organization which uses and exploits the politics of hate to diminish mainstream Christian pro-family groups. They have no regard. It's ends justify the means. They are slandering countless people now, and it's almost as if they've grown in their appetite of, they are now taking on more and more groups to slander as haters. This is an awful organization, which is why Americans for Truth led a press conference featuring African American pastors for the most part, who said this is a bogus thing that you're doing to these pro-family groups. And Barb, I wouldn't be surprised if SPLC started labeling Minnesota Family Council or your Parents Action League as a hate group.
They already have.
They did. Oh, I'm behind the times. Which one?
We have been, Parents Action League has been added to their ridiculous catalog of haters.
Oh, congratulations, Barb. Because we've decided that if you're not labeled a hate group by the SPLC, you're not really doing anything to counter the homosexual activist movement.
Well, and isn't it amazing that this group of concerned parents and grandparents that are very involved in their school district are now in the same league as white supremacists, according to the SPLC?
If it weren't so silly, if it weren't so laughable, it's just the dumbest thing in the world. But folks, that's in the world of the media, Lori, 1 minute left. But of course, you know, we joke about it. It seems so odd and crazy. But the media, of course, with their intense bias in favor of homosexuality, takes these labelings seriously.
Well, it's not just the media. I mean, it's public schools access these lists. Students do. Law enforcement agencies use the list from the Southern Poverty Law Center. For people who've not heard about it, they don't realize the reach of this organization, although there is increasing amounts of information that really discredits the SPLC and exposes their lack of ethics and their bias.
Yes, I think they are on their way out, or at least their influence and their respected status, so-called, is on the wane. It's because they've just, you know, this is too much of a gambit. Saying that Barb Anderson, one of the most wonderful people I've ever met, is the equivalent of a Klansman. I mean, sometimes, you know, you've stretched credulity too far. We're talking to Barb Anderson and Lori Higgins. They're two wonderful pro-family activists. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Listeners, you can support Americans for Truth by going to the website americansfortruth.org or .com. There's a donate button at the top. Please support us. Help us to pay for this radio show, which, by the way, will be shifting to midnight on Sunday. Midnight on Sunday, you can hear it live, or at least when it's broadcast. That's Sunday morning, but it's really Saturday night, midnight from our 11 o'clock time. That begins in May. And Lori, I know you'll be up every midnight listening to us. So I'll be
I am up every night at midnight.
Well, but listening to our show, I'm going to be quizzing you every Sunday morning now. Just want to make sure you're keeping up. But we laugh here. We're all friends. And I was behind the times. I did not know that Parents Action League had been labeled a hateful organization by the SPLC. And Barb, I'm sure that's because they found out the great work you're doing while they were doing their insidious lawsuit, I should say malicious lawsuit, against the school district. Because why would the SPLC be all of a sudden have Parents Action League on its radar screen?
Well, absolutely. And they use any tactic they can to stigmatize and marginalize any opposition to their agenda.
Yeah, the irony is the very things that they decry being used against homosexuals, they do themselves. And this, when you go to the hate map of the SPLC, the so-called hate map, which you are probably on now, Barb, in Minnesota, you pull up, you click on the group, and there's the graphic that is above. You have the description, you know, like ours is Americans for Truth, and it has the address and the phone number. It says where we are. The graphic on top of it is a bunch of saluting neo-Nazis. So, I mean, this is how absurd our society has become. Lori, what can you say in the face of such nonsense?
Well, I say you have to kind of ignore it and suck it up and accept that you're going to be called a hater and a bigot. And once you kind of resign yourself to that, you can move forward. And I think we also have to sort of act like our beliefs are objectively true. We have to have the tenacity and the boldness that the other side has.
Yeah.
Instead, we act like cowardly, I don't know what, church mice.
Because people are intimidated. Now, speaking of intimidation, I'm holding in my hands a copy of an article in the Rolling Stone, which I believe came out a few months ago. I don't have the date here. It's called One Town's War on Gay Teens. And Barb, and here's the subhead. And of course, the war is the Anoka-Hennepin School District outside Minneapolis that we're talking about here. It shows a bunch of students holding candles in some sort of candlelight vigil, and a very sympathetic picture. And the subhead is, in Michelle Bachmann's home district, evangelicals have created an extreme anti-gay climate. After a rash of suicides, the kids are fighting back. This is an article by Sabrina Rubin Erdely of the Rolling Stone. And Barb, I'm going to ask for your reaction, but here's how they describe Barb Anderson, who I've gotten to know through our work and who is just, as I said, just a wonderful human being. You know, one of the benefits of being in the pro-family movement is you get to meet the best people because they're all trying to save their culture. And Barb and Lori, you two are two of those people. But here's how the Rolling Stone cast Barb Anderson. Grandmother, how many grandkids, Barb?
Three, one on the way.
Okay. I'll pick up in the paragraph. It says, though Bachmann doesn't live within Anoka Hennepin's boundaries anymore, she has a dowdier doppelganger there in the form of anti-gay crusader Barb Anderson, a bespeckled grandmother with lemony blonde hair. She curls in severely toward her face. Anderson is a former district Spanish teacher and a longtime researcher for the MFC, that's the Minnesota Family Council, who's been fighting gay influence in local schools for two decades. Ever since she discovered that her nephew's health class was teaching homosexuality as normal. Quote, that really got me on a journey, she said in a radio interview. When the Anoka Hennepin's district sex ed curriculum came up for reevaluation in 1994, Anderson and four like-minded parents managed to get on the review committee. They argued that any form of gay tolerance, now notice the wording, they argued that any form of gay tolerance in school is actually an insidious means of promoting homosexuality, that openly discussing the matter would encourage kids to try it, turning straight kids gay. Lori, it goes on and on, but describe, Lori, if you could, you wrote about this article in the Rolling Stone, describe its purpose and how it, you know, what it was set out to do.
Well, I actually wrote two articles about it to really unpack the kind of arguments she was making. And what was really interesting about it, in addition to what I had mentioned earlier, that she mentions nine suicides, which occurred over the course of 2 years in six schools, and two of them weren't even in the public schools. One was in a charter school, and one was in a college. But the other thing she does is she more than suggests that it is evangelicals who have created the problems, but she never even attempts to prove a connection or provide evidence for the connection between evangelicalism and bullying. She doesn't even try to. It's just what she'll do is she'll say, oh, here's some teens who committed suicide, and then she'll talk about the policy, but she never talks about what is the connection, what is the evidence that are evangelical, which are simply orthodox theological beliefs about homosexuality, how exactly that contributed to the bullying. In fact, one mother of one of the girls who committed suicide actually said she acknowledged, this is from the article, that her daughter likely had many issues that combined to push her over the edge. But Erdely never looked at those. She actually did mention one of the other boys who committed suicide, and I think it was the one boy who identified as homosexual. His parents were filing for bankruptcy. Barb can probably recall some of the other instances. So Erdely does mention that, but then just sort of walks away from it and returns to, oh, it's the evangelicals who've done it. And what was also interesting in these accounts was what teachers were saying. The president of the teachers union has said that teachers should have the right to express their opinions on controversial issues in class, not just introduce resources, but express their personal opinions. And then another teacher had said, who her name is Mary Jo Merrick Lockett, she said, and I'm quoting, if you can't talk about homosexuality in any context, kids internalize that to mean being gay must be shameful and wrong. And that has created a climate of fear, repression, and harassment. So here's one problem. How does kids' internalization of shame make other kids harass them? That doesn't even make sense. But in addition, the idea that homosexual acts are not shameful is a subjective moral proposition, and government employees have no right affirming them or asserting them as objective truths. And that's what conservatives need to understand. Our government employees are now affirming subjective moral propositions as objective factual truths, and they want to in the classroom.
Right, and that classroom is not a fair playing field. You know, we've heard the stories of college professors trying to, you know, destroy people's Christian faith because they're in an obviously an advantaged position. Barb, you must have been dumbstruck by this piece in Rolling Stone, but I mean, this has been the campaign all along is to use this to promote the homosexual agenda.
Well. Yes, I was absolutely shocked when this piece came out. First of all, they never even interviewed me, and then there was quite a bit of commentary in there about me. When I read about being the doubtier doppelganger of Michelle Bachmann, I thought, well, any comparison to Michelle Bachmann is to me a compliment, but I learned a new word, doppelganger.
Yeah.
I had not heard of that before.
Okay, define that, you guys.
I believe that is kind of a shadowy, ghostly sidekick or
a double.
And what about this lemony blonde hair, Barb? We've met. I don't remember the lemony, but, you know, what's up with that?
Oh, I've never had it described that way. I'm trying to not curl it severely in towards my face.
You know, you can almost read the playbook of the left. They want to make you look like you're some, you know, cave-dwelling old person who has no relation whatsoever to the students, you know, out of touch. And it's actually very crude. But there's no logic, as Lori, you're pointing out. This is just very crude propaganda. But
it's ironic to come from the no-name calling crowd.
Yeah,
it's an insulting, diminishing kind of way to marginalize her, and it is an ad hominem description. She doesn't do it of any of the characters that are on her side of this narrative. And actually, Eardley didn't interview Barb, but she did contact the Parents Action League, and they, I don't know if it was how many questions it was, 8, 10, 12, and they sent a 1,500 word response, and Eardley used 54 words.
Right, of course. That's
and you know what she didn't include, because they didn't include, I'm sure you saw it, Pete, it was in the Advocate magazine, which is a homosexual magazine, and they had an op-ed by David McFarland in which he criticized exactly what Eardley did and said the kind of tactics and rhetoric that she was engaged in, he didn't mention her name, but it is exactly that, is actually contributing to teen suicide, and that they need to change their tactics because they are fomenting, particularly among troubled teens, they are fomenting the suicidal ideation and leading to their actual suicides. And one thing
you mean like they're promoting all this self-victimization mentality?
Well, yes. I mean, they've talked about suicide clusters and what that does, and says communicating about this crisis. These are David McFarland's words. Is complicated because the reasons a person attempts suicide are also complicated. Even talking about specific suicides online and in the media can encourage more deaths. And also it is portraying these teens who've committed suicide who become cause celeb. It's leading other teen suicides to think that is the path that they should take because
yes.
It will help their cause. And this is a homosexual activist saying it, not me. And so, and that's exactly what Eardley has done. And what gets lost in this is, what are all the risk factors? We don't look at all the risk factors for teen suicides. Why don't we look more closely at teen bullies? These kids are also usually victims, not as seriously. I understand that the tragic consequences are not as great. But what's going on in their lives is leading them to do such antisocial behavior.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking to Lori Higgins of the Illinois Family Institute and Barb Anderson of the Parents Action League in Minneapolis. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org, and you can get all archived radio interviews at the website. Just hit the button on the right for Americans for Truth Report. Lori Higgins and Barb Anderson have been working very heavily on this problem of the homosexual activists targeting this school district outside Minneapolis. Barb, you were there on the ground. What was the effect of this awful article in the Rolling Stone called One Town's War on Gay Teens?
Well, you missed the beginning part of the title. The beginning part of it was School of Hate. So again, they were emphasizing the hate. And this article came out the beginning of February, and it was used again as another battering ram against our school board members to try to get them to cave in on this lawsuit that was in mediation at that time. And it was a gross misrepresentation of our school district. Our superintendent called it a brutal and distorted attack, and the whole article was just implying that we are anti-gay crusaders who think that basically gay kids don't deserve any protection. And there was no truth to this. There was no fact-checking done by the author. She just pulled stuff off of blogs and took things out of context. And as a result of that, our school board members received many death threats, as did members of the Parents Action League. The church that was identified in the article, they just picked it out of a hat, First Baptist Church, and they never interviewed that church, but as a result of being mentioned in the article, the pastor was awakened in the middle of the night with a death threat saying the church was going to be blown up and his family members killed and he was going to have to watch it one by one. So this is the kind of thing that happened, the fallout from that Rolling Stone piece.
And so the irony, in the name of protecting kids, they're putting other people at risk. They're stoking anti-Christian, anti-religious bigotry in the most crudest of ways. Were there any repercussions for this writer? Did the school district issue a formal reply to the article? And I do note here, and I want to talk about this, Lori Thompson, explain who she is, and she was the particular target of some awful, hateful stuff.
Well, the school district did issue a response saying that this was absolutely untrue. But unfortunately, I think this was just another piece that, you know, was more pressure on the school board, and they caved into this whole lawsuit thing beginning of March. And that's a whole other piece to go into what is in the consent decree and how this is a blueprint for our nation now. But also, there was a writer, Scott Rose from New York City, who picked up on this and attacked me and several other people. And Howard Stern picked
now,
up
but
on
before you go
radio.
Off that one, yeah. But and Howard Stern, we want to talk about. In fact, I listened to the Howard Stern thing on YouTube, where he went off. He basically had evidently used the Rolling Stone magazine as a platform to go on this incredible screed against Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachman, I think. And tell us a little bit about that. Then we'll go into this Scott Rose, Lori Thompson thing.
Well, yes, Howard Stern, because of that article, said that the students in Anoka Hennepin School District are getting the SHIT beat out of them, and he talked about this as torture. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth, so they have really painted
Barb, one thing I remember about that Howard Stern rant was he said, we knew, you know, now looking back, the people should have dealt with Hitler in Germany. And then he went to Rick Santorum and he said he should be pulled off the stage. I mean, in other words, they are dehumanizing believers now. They are creating this false caricature, and they're actually going to the extreme of encouraging violence against Christians. I think he said something to the effect of Rick Santorum should be somebody needs to confront him right there, as if like the crowd should storm him and he needs to be stopped. Do you remember that?
I remember that piece, and this is just becoming so extreme, and you see all the hate coming from their side while they're calling us haters. This is,
and we know the left. We know the left has a history of violence, and the left is produced communism that came out of the left. And you say, what does that have to do with this situation? Well, you know, they use their enemies to fuel their movement. And the convenient enemy now are the Bible-believing Christians. And I'm looking at this Lori Thompson thing. This is Scott Rosenau. This is a New York City activist, Barb?
Yes.
Okay, this is something called the new, believe it or not, it's called the New Civil Rights Movement, I believe. Well, I don't know if this website is called Anti-Gay Bigotry or something. This is the headline is Lori Thompson has SHIT for brains. Explain who Lori Thompson is and why they're going after her the most.
Lori Thompson is a mother who has kids in the school district. She is the president of the Parents Action League, and so that's why they are attacking her, because the Parents Action League has stood in opposition to the gay activists who tried to overturn our sexual orientation curriculum policy. And so he's going after her as the main target and just saying despicable things about her in another article as well.
Well, let me show you what I'm describing. There's a picture of, I just read you that awful headline. There's actually a picture, I think.
Not her.
No, it's a picture of a woman with, I think it's supposed to be feces coming out of her brain. This is this is the absolutely despicable tactics of the fringe of some of the radical activists on the homosexual side. And they say, Lori Thompson is a frothing at the mouth evangelical gay bashing spokes turd for the Parents Action League, a Southern Poverty Law Center certified anti-gay hate group. And it's amazing that it's not lost on them that they're using abjectly hateful terminology to rail against so-called haters. Now she was this the one woman who tell us about the vote on the capitulation to the SPLC, Barb?
There was one courageous school board member, Kathy Tingelstad, who voted against overturning the policy, against the consent decree settlement, and she resigned from the school board. And Scott Rose has gone after her as well, and because her name Kathy starts with a K, he's calling her KK Kathy, and has gone into a diatribe against her as well as against Lori Thompson.
Okay, now back up a little bit, and I'm sorry we have to jam this in. And Lori, jump in anytime you need to. This consent decree, this is the lawsuit, which rather than fight it, because it's a lot of money, right? So they basically are settling the lawsuit, which now brings in, through the federal government, and tell us about this settlement. What does this lawsuit force Anoka Hennepin School District to do?
Well, while they were worrying about it costing, going through with a lawsuit and the trial and all of this, that it was cost the school district money, it's going to cost us more money in the long run as to what they have agreed and signed on to. Our district must pay $500,000 the first year, and this will be every year, because we are forced to hire now a Title IX coordinator, an equity coordinator, a mental health consultant. They're going to have a data system set up to track the problems. They're going to install cameras in the school, on the schoolyard, and on the buses to look for hot spots for bullying and harassment. They're going to have mandatory trainings for teachers. They will have an anti-bullying.
Now, that training, Barb, of course, will be promoting the homosexual agenda, one side of the issue.
Absolutely. And they're having a task force, and on the task force, they must have at least two parents of GSA students and have at least two GSA students. It doesn't say anything about Christian students or any other category of people on this task force.
GSA, Barb mentioned, means the Gay Straight Alliance.
And Lori, talk about this. What does this mean with the federal government coming in? They want to make this the example for all the schools. And this is basically going to be used, especially under the Obama administration, to promote these radical policies nationwide.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, they're coming in on a number of fronts. I mentioned earlier the National Sexuality Education Standards, which when people think about comprehensive sex ed, they're actually just focusing too much on the abortion and contraception part of it. A huge part of these is to promote homosexuality, and that would be from the federal government. This is the same federal government, that Department of Justice, that will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act. So this is a really activist administration, and they want to impose these things from the federal level. And Barb, you didn't mention this settlement for the six kids. Tell them how much money they receive.
The six kids receive $45,000 each, $270,000 total. And now we are under a five-year contract with the federal government. They will be monitoring and reviewing compliance with all of these items listed in the consent decree. They can come in and observe the trainings, and we have to respond to the United States government. So this is just a total rejection of local control with the federal government coming in, and they're using Title IX. They use Title IX to do this, which has nothing to do with sexual orientation harassment. That is not a part of any federal law.
And I just want to point out that people should go to, there's a website called Open Market. I think it's the blog for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And there's a gentleman named Hans Bader, B-A-D-E-R, who writes a lot about school bullying policy. And he's an attorney, and it's really fabulous writing. And he talks about the Title IX and how it's being misused. I also want to mention, when these teachers, at the liberal teachers, like the teachers union president, Julie Blaha, fights for teachers to have the right to express their opinions on controversial issues, you can bet your bottom dollar conservative teachers will not be permitted to express their views on controversial issues. If these teachers, like the one I quoted earlier, think that silence on the issue makes kids feel ashamed and leads to bullying, how much more would it be if a teacher expressed their conservative moral views? So this is not about sound pedagogy. It will do the exact opposite. It will interfere with intellectual exploration and critical thinking. And I don't think there's a greater threat to First Amendment speech and religious liberty in America today than that posed by the homosexual agenda.
And it goes on and
right.
on, and they want to go younger and younger.
That's right.
Barb, 30 seconds, and we'll come back to this, but is there an effort now to maybe overturn that? I mean, do you have any alternative now but to follow the ruling, or what can be done?
Well, at the moment, we have to follow the ruling. We are contacting attorneys to see if there's any other options that we have. But really, the school board ceded its oversight role to the Obama Justice Department. And this is to be a model, to be a blueprint for the nation. So parents across the country better watch out what, you know, is going to be coming into their
school. Let me stop you there. Absolutely. We'll be right back with Barb Anderson and Lori Higgins. Welcome back to our final segment with Lori Higgins and Barb Anderson. And you guys, I wish we had more time, but we don't have a lot. But we'll be talking to them for many months and years to come. Barb, what type of things, and Lori, jump in, what type of programs do you foresee in this anti-bullying curricula propaganda that is going to be foisted on these Anoka-Hennepin students? Give us some examples.
Their long-range goal is to get this into every subject matter at every grade level, and in their own writings, this is what they call queering the curriculum. They want to go...
Queering the curriculum.
Queering.
Okay,
so
you have a math class, and you're going to somehow get a so-called queer angle to help the kid in the math class not get bullied. That's the idea?
Well, they want school children to be bombarded with homosexual references in math, geography, science, English, all of this to promote the gay agenda. I think kids are going to get so sick of this, but unfortunately it's going to brainwash many of the children with this propaganda and will bring many of the kids into the gay lifestyle as they experiment with this and are told that this is normal and a choice that they can make as well.
Lori?
Well, I mean, Barb is exactly right. And I to mention the National Sexuality Education Standards, they actually have recommendations in there. And also the GLSEN elementary school kit. The new one just came out, and both of these, I think actually was the school kids.
Okay, talk about that, because that's elementary school oriented.
That's
what kind
right.
of, what kind of stuff are we talking about, Lori?
They specifically mention in there math problems that you can give. You know, Rosalie and her two daddies go to the grocery store, and they buy three packages priced at a certain thing, and so what would the ultimate cost be? And so really, they're just subtly introducing these messages rather than just say directly, oh, some people have two daddies, some people have two mommies, some have one mommy, one daddy. They infiltrate it in much more insidious, concealed ways, although they do it in the direct ways also. But they want it integrated in curricula, they, like the law, SB 48, that passed in California. Social studies classes are now compelled to introduce positive portrayals of homosexuals and transgenders, and at the same time, anything that portrays that negatively is prohibited. And that's called censorship, for anyone who doesn't notice. And so we're getting this in the anti-bullying. They have the activities Barb mentioned in our last conversation a week ago about the activity where kids are, you know, they stand in one line or one group, and they're to go to one side of the room if they support same-sex marriage or if they know someone who's in one. We introduce it at kindergarten level by introducing what they call family diversity.
Yes.
There's an activity that's very common where it's a matching cards with terms and their definitions, and they have androgyne and genderqueer and pansexuality and all sorts of deviant sexuality terms. And
that are going to be studied by elementary school kids?
Well, right now I've only seen that at freshman level at the high school in which I worked. It was in their whole freshman advisory program. It was one of the activities. Of course, it comes from GLSEN.
Yeah. This is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. And Lori, we got 5 minutes left, Barb. The sex ed worries me because we know that most schools do not teach the extraordinary health risks associated with men who have sex with men, male homosexual sex. Now, they're not going to do anything that stigmatizes male homosexual sex. So how is that going to, it's going to be taught as morally and neutral. It's going to be taught a neutral way. How is it going to affect that, do you think, Lori?
Well, they're doing it now. A lot of states, and Illinois was the first to have what they call social and emotional learning standards, and that gets incorporated sometimes, the standards, which are state requirements. So the school has to fulfill them in some ways, and it will be often through health, which is where the sex education is. It's your sophomore year. And so you can go CECUS, which is the Sexuality Education and Information Council of the United States, a hugely influential sex education site. They have their guidelines for comprehensive sexuality, and they will tell you at each level what ideas they think should be introduced. And at the younger levels, it's about people falling in love with people of the same sex or
right.
other.
They're taught that homosexual love is innocuous and it's analogous
right.
to regular love.
And the new national sexuality standards that I've mentioned a couple of times, you can look and go find those and see who was on the board to create them. It's GLSEN, it's Planned Parenthood, it's CECUS, it's all liberal organizations. And this is going to be imposed from the federal level on all local school districts. I wanted to mention there's three things.
Okay, we got 4 minutes. Let me get, before you do that quickly, Barb, give us just one example of the type of stuff you've seen foisted on kids in Minneapolis schools.
Well, I'm very concerned when I look at the sex education curriculum, and parents need to get on their health curriculum committees, because we, beginning with the AIDS curriculum, we saw the introduce gay sex to kids. And right now, when you look at some of the curriculums that are for middle school and high school level, they're introducing the concept of three forms of sexual intercourse, vaginal, anal, oral, and as equivalent ways and just to use protection. And they're introducing that because they don't want to offend gay kids. So they have to say, because kids participate in this behavior, that we need to teach them how to do it safely. And they're even bringing in the idea of using dental dams for protection for oral sex.
I mean, it's absolutely insane that you're going to teach impressionable kids about anal sex.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And they have descriptions of behaviors, which I couldn't even read to you on the air, of things that dogs do, and they're applying this to humans and to how to teach kids how to do this safely. And this, of all places, was introduced in a booth at the Minnesota School Health Education Conference. So all of these things are coming in under health, some of the most unhealthy, bizarre behaviors that they're going to introduce to kids, just because some people do it, so they're introducing it to all the kids.
And are they going to introduce, you know, the HIV rates among the age group 13 to 24 of men who have sex with men, and that's from the CDC, are they going to introduce and tell them about all the other diseases, infections that are much more common in the group designated men who have sex with men, shigellosis and all sorts of other things? They don't do that because
no, it
will stigmatize.
Right, and because that would be discriminatory, right, Lori?
Well, right. They're predisposed to not stigmatize anything having to do with homosexual sex practices. And, of course, even if that puts kids at risk, kids are entitled to that information to make informed decisions.
Yes, yes.
What they really are doing is trying to destroy the idea of any normal sexual behavior.
Right.
And, you know, introduce all of these sex acts to children, and nothing is normal or abnormal anymore.
And then bringing the federal government in, everybody's going to be watching. Barb, we've got a minute and a half left. Tell me, how are you resisting this? This makes it a lot harder to fight when you've got this huge lawsuit. You got the Southern Poverty Law Center throwing its weight around, and I don't think they should even. Why is our federal government working as if that's some sort of reputable, objective organization? What do you do?
Well, I think we don't give up. There are a lot of parents that became discouraged after this lawsuit settlement, but they are continuing to write letters to the editor, and you can educate your community by doing just that. And you need to continue to put pressure on the school board, testify before the school board, find pieces like this from the CDC, go before them and hold them accountable for their decision. If these things come into the school, go before the school board, read out loud what the kids are being taught. And I think there are many ways that parents have to continually hold up this banner of what is right, what is normal. If we back down now, we're just passing it on to the next generation, and it will get worse.
Lori, 30 seconds. Give me a 30-second version of what you tell parents to tell in the beginning of the school year.
I tell them, email your students, your children's teachers, tell them under no circumstances is your child to be exposed to any resources or activity or classroom commentary on homosexuality, and ask the teacher to agree in writing to honor that request. If they won't, ask for a teacher change. If there's no teacher that will agree to it, then you need to figure out what you're going to do in there, because they're telling you they're going to be exposing your kids to this stuff.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much for this. That's Lori Higgins from Illinois Family Institute and Barb Anderson from Parents Action League. Go out and stand for truth. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.